The text is the last reading, the last verse of the reading, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to see you. I didn't know if there would be anybody in chapel today, given the weather, and also that today is Friday the 13th. Hebrews 13, verse 6, is a quotation of Psalm 118, verse 6. In response to the author of Hebrews and the psalmist writing, "I will not fear, what can man do to me?" we say, "Are you kidding?" This is especially so as we think of being Christians in an unbelieving world, in a world which is becoming increasingly hostile to the church. People take a stance against us because of our faith. And man, human beings, can do us much harm and injury. They can do bad things to us. For example, they can slander us. They might try to take our property and possessions. They will attack us for what we believe and practice, and even try to drive us from our faith. In these changing times in certain parts of the world, they will try to take our life because we are Christians. So how can the psalmist and the author of Hebrews put forth the message of no fear with regard to evil people? We are indeed to have no fear because wicked man cannot do the worst thing to us. People cannot destroy our body and soul in hell. Such destruction in that place of horrendous agony is the reason for the greatest fear. Every other fear is small in comparison. Only God can send us to everlasting damnation. We truly deserve hell because of our sinful nature and our many violations of God's holy will. There is no way we could have kept ourselves from ending up in those infernal flames. Yet the perfect God will not damn us guilty ones because of Jesus Christ. Since Christ was our substitute with his holy life and his innocent suffering and death, since Jesus arose from the dead, since the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to us through faith, we are spared from going to hell. We have, by God's grace alone, total forgiveness and everlasting life. God has made us his dear children. He has brought us into fellowship with himself. So, we will not fear because God is with us constantly without interruption. In verse 5 of Hebrews 13, God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We know how Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God gives us courage through his word and sacrament. And because God is with us, we have courage. God is with us as our helper. He is present with all of his awesome divine attributes and in his grace, mercy, and love. So we joyfully confess along with Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? Next to the infinite, almighty deity, man is puny, tiny in comparison. Thus we can repeat the words of our text, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me?" But wait a minute. Wicked man can still do evil things to us. That hasn't changed. Nevertheless, we will have no fear, for evil people will be able to do only what God permits. He remains at our side and always in full control of what happens. God allows harassments and persecution to come to us according to His mysterious will and plan for the universe. And ultimately, these trials will be of benefit to us. Further, God will not let us be defeated by wicked people, but will have us emerge as conquerors. What if they slander us? God will vindicate us. If He chooses, vindication will come during the course of this world's history. We may live to see it, we may not. We can be absolutely certain of God's vindication on the last day. David promises in Psalm 37, God will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. What if they try to take our property and possessions? God has the power to thwart them in that attempt. God is able to restore our property or to replace it. Whatever, God will always take care of us, even in times of loss. Also, people cannot take from us the most precious, the most valuable treasures, the blessings of the kingdom. And they are helpless to deprive us of our inheritance in heaven and in the new creation. Sinful people may attack us and try to drive us from our faith and Christian life. God will not let us be defeated in that way. He will preserve us by His means of grace as those believing in Him and living in a godly manner. God will keep us faithful unto death. That is victory. What if wicked people try to take our life, especially since we are workers and leaders in the church? God, if He so decides, will confound their evil plans and deliver us. If we are not killed but still have to go through suffering, God will give us the strength we need. Psalm 118 was Luther's favorite psalm. He wrote an exposition of this psalm in the summer of 1530, when the cause of the Reformation was struggling for its life at the Diet of Augsburg, and Luther was standing by helpless at Coburg Castle. In that tense time, Luther exuded confidence in the Lord. He had no fear for the future, for he knew what God had done for him and the Reformation in the past. In his exposition, Luther wrote, "The enemies, where are they? Where is their wrath? What has happened to their evil designs? What has happened to all the plots which the Pope and his clergy have bungled during the past 10 years? It is a good thing that they have thick skulls. Hence it does not bother them that they failed so often and boasted and cheered for nothing." God preserved Luther's life from the Pope and the Emperor. But some years before, Jan Hus was burned at the stake. What about him and all the martyrs of the past, present, and future? Do the words of Hebrews 13, verse 6 apply to them? Of course, the answer is yes. The Christian man or woman dying for the faith is still, by God's grace, a conqueror by remaining faithful to the end, by giving a witness through martyrdom, by joining the church triumphant. The human foe has not defeated them. Our enemies, in the end, will not win, and God will deal with them. Either they will be brought to repentance and faith and become, as Luther said, our friends, or they will receive God's judgment in this life, and if they persist in their unbelief, in the next, and on Judgment Day. Therefore, we will not fear, and say with full confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord, "What can man do to me?" Such trust in the Lord results in a certain type of living. We will see our duty simply being this, to conduct ourselves in a manner faithful to our calling, holding to Scripture, standing firmly on the Word of God. We will not hate our enemies, but in the power of Christ, have agape love for them. We will pray that they will be brought to repentance and faith, and we will show love to them as there is opportunity. And finally, united with Christ, we will be bold, not foolhardy, but courageous witnesses for Him, refusing to be intimidated by the world. H.G. Salter wrote, "I have no notion of a timid, disingenuous profession of Christ. Such preachers and professors are like a rat playing at hide-and-seek behind a paneling on a wall, who puts his head through a hole to see if the coast is clear and ventures out if nobody is in the way, but slinks back again if danger appears. We cannot be honest to Christ except we are bold for Him." Why such boldness? "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God keep us holding to and living by that confession. In Jesus' name, amen.